November is National Family Caregivers Month. One in four Americans is stepping up to help older loved ones with everything from meals to bills. Family caregivers spend thousands out of their own pockets each year, and too many have to quit their jobs to keep providing care. Working families can't afford to wait. It's time to care for America's caregivers. Learn more at aarp.org/careforcaregivers. Paid for by AARP.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to be with you today. Happy Monday to you, America. So we've got a lot to talk about today, and I want to jump into this conversation pretty quickly about the about Tucker Carlson and the Heritage Foundation and Nick Fuentes. And I'm just curious about a couple of things, and one of the reasons, I mean, I've mentioned it here and there over the past couple of weeks as this controversy has been brewing, has been percolating, and I was wondering, I've been back and forth in my mind over this, whether or not it was too inside baseball, and I'm not sure the average American has ever heard of Nick Fuentes or the Heritage Foundation. I mean, those of us who live and breathe and eat politics every day, yeah, we know all about this. But I'm afraid that we are moving down a path now where this is becoming a very big issue in the Republican Party. Now, I've been pretty clear and pretty open that I call out anti-Semitism when I see it. I loathe Jew hatred. I hate racism and I hate racist with a passion. And we call that stuff out on this program. I don't believe there's any place in the Republican Party for racist or for Jew haters or Christ haters, for that matter. I really don't. Now, I think we've got a problem, and we're going to open up the phone lines, and we're going to let you have your say on this. Some of you may very well disagree with me about this, but the way this argument is being framed is very disturbing to me. And it all started with a long time ago, but most recently, the current controversy came about after Tucker Carlson sat down with an interview with Hitler lover Nick Fuentes. Now, let me say this about Nick Fuentes. It was not a hard-hitting interview. You know, Tucker, if you remember about a month or so ago, Tucker had Ted Cruz on and just went after him. I've never seen anything like that. I mean, Tucker went after Ted Cruz up one side, down the other. It was really ugly. And so then along comes Nick Fuentes and Tucker. It was almost like the two were playing, I don't know, footsie. It was very kind, very considerate. And it just seems to me, if someone sitting across from you says, you know, Hitler is awesome and Hitler was right about everything and the Holocaust didn't happen, seems to me there might be a smidge of pushback. I wasn't conducting the interview. I don't know what the ground rules were. Maybe Tucker had to sign some sort of a document saying that he would not push back. I don't know. But it was in this interview, it was really strange. And I just want you to listen to this part of it. Cut number six, please.
Documentary. I came home. I told my parents, I'm like, Mom, Dad, the Holocaust didn't happen. And they were like, we did not raise you this way. I remember coming home from college in my second semester. You know, I got home in the spring and I was like, Mom, Dad, Hitler was awesome. Hitler was right. And the Holocaust didn't happen. And my parents were like, we cannot believe well, you are saying we did not raise you like this. I'm like, I can't believe you're not being chill about this. I was like shocked because my parents aren't even that political. I mean, my parents are like vaguely conservative, you know, like boomers are. And I thought they'd be down to about it. I was like, yeah, guys, guess what? You're never going to believe what I discovered. And they were so not cool about it. They were pissed. They were like, we will not tolerate that in our house. I'm like, they got you too. They got to you too. I remember being like, I fought with them for a long time about that. That's why I tell you don't red pill your parents, because I played that game. I was like, Mom, Dad, you don't think it's a little bit weird that we can't criticize Jews? You can talk about anything else, anybody else, any other event, but you talk about this one, it's, they were not buying it. They did not bite. Okay, I'll bite. They did not bite.
So, Fuentes, and again, I think the argument is way off base here and let me say this. First of all, Hitler is not awesome, and Hitler was wrong, and the Holocaust did happen. But again, this idea that no one's allowed to criticize Israel, that's simply not true. That's not what is going on here. So then Tucker, later on in the interview, Tucker starts going after people like Governor Mike Huckabee and George W. Bush, calling them Christian Zionists. And Tucker says that these people are misreading and misunderstanding the Bible. And he says that the Jews are not God's chosen people. This is Tucker Carlson now saying that all of you Christians out there who believe that the Jews are God's chosen people, you are misreading Holy Scripture. Cut number 11, please.
How do you explain Mike Huckabee, Ted Cruz, and there are a lot like that, John Bolton. I mean, I've known them all, George W. Bush, like the Karl Rove. I mean, all people I know personally who I've seen like be seized by this brain virus, mm-hmm. and they're not Jewish. Most of them are self-described Christians. And then the Christian Zionists mm-hmm. who are, well, Christian Zionists. Like, what is that?
Right.
And I could just say for myself, I dislike them more than anybody. You know, because like what? Because it's Christian heresy and I'm offended by that as a Christian. That's why. So I don't like, why not? Like, I'm pissed at the neocons, very pissed. I've said that a million times. I've been mad since December of 2003 when I went to Iraq. And so like I went and asked straightforward questions to Ted Cruz, because that seemed like there's a sitting senator who's like serving for Israel by his own description. He seemed like a worthy target. I'm not going after MTG. Mm-hmm. Who's like the most sincere why not go after Ted Cruz?
So, and he did go after Ted Cruz. I mean, when you look at this love fest that happened between Nick and Tucker, and you're wondering, okay, what's really going on here? So now the argument is, oh, people are so, and because people are genuinely like, wait a second, why are you not condemning Hitler here? This is a bit of a weird place for us to be. Are we now? And so they're saying anybody who criticizes Tucker and Nick Fuentes are now guilty of cancel culture. So all of this is going on over the weekend, and I'm pretty much staying out of it because, again, I've always supported the nation of Israel. That has not affected me, you know, affected my patriotism one bit. But now, all of a sudden, and I've noticed this, and Laura Loomer and I were chatting about this over the weekend, I've noticed that I came out and I just put out a statement saying, I stand with Israel, I do. That my opinion has never changed. My opinion has never wavered. But now, all of a sudden, even my patriotism is being called into question, and I noticed that on X, my engagement numbers plummeted from 5 to 6 million a day down to just the tens of thousands a day. And other conservatives who are pro-Israel have suffered the same fate. And now our feeds are being filled with all of this Jew hatred. It is just off the charts. So all this is going on. And so the Heritage Foundation, which is really a premier conservative organization, a conservative think tank, And Kevin Roberts decided to step in. Apparently, he is a very good friend of Tucker Carlson's. And I want you to hear what he had to say. He cut a video. And the poor guy, the guy looked like it was a hostage video. Clearly, he was reading from some sort of a teleprompter. And here's my concern about what he said. He's going to go on to tell you after this that he had no idea, you know, the extent of what Nick Fuentes and Tucker were talking about. Well, if that's true, why would you even put out that sort of a statement? Why would you put the prominence of the Heritage Foundation in jeopardy? Why would you do that? So here's what Kevin Roberts had to say about all this.
I'll have more to say on this in the coming days, but today I want to be clear about one thing. Christians can critique the state of Israel without being anti-Semitic. And of course, anti-Semitism should be condemned. My loyalty as a Christian and as an American is to Christ first and to America always. When it serves the interests of the United States to cooperate with Israel and other allies, we should do so, with partnerships on security, intelligence, and technology. But when it doesn't, conservatives should feel no obligation to reflexively support any foreign government, no matter how loud the pressure becomes from the globalist class or from their mouthpieces in Washington. The Heritage Foundation didn't become the intellectual backbone of the conservative movement by canceling our own people or policing the consciences of Christians. And we won't start doing that now. We don't take direction from comments on X, though we are grateful for the robust free speech debate. We also don't take direction from members or donors, though we are inherently grateful for their support. And we're adding more every day. This is the robust debate we invite with our colleagues, our movement friends, our members, and the American public. We will always defend truth. We will always defend America, and we will always defend our friends against the slander of bad actors who serve someone else's agenda. That includes Tucker Carlson, who remains, and as I have said before, always will be a close friend of the Heritage Foundation. The venomous coalition attacking him are sowing division. Their attempt to cancel him will fail. Most importantly, the American people expect us to be focusing on our political adversaries on the left, not attacking our friends on the right. I disagree with, and even abhor, things that Nick Fuentes says. But canceling him is not the answer either. When we disagree with a person's thoughts and opinions, we challenge those ideas in debate. And we have seen success in this approach as we continue to dismantle the vile ideas of the left. As my friend Vice President Vance said last night, what I am not okay with is any country coming before the interest of American citizens, and it is important for all of us, assuming we are American citizens, to put the interest of our own country first. That's where our allegiance lies, and that's where it will stay.
All right, there you have it. Kevin Roberts going after and blasting all of these folks that are coming out and saying, wait a second. Are you telling me, you're telling me that you love Hitler? And now criticizing that is I don't know, it puts you as a part of this venomous coalition that Kevin Roberts from the Heritage Foundation is talking about. So my question to Kevin Roberts here over at the Heritage Foundation, is he now willing to offer a platform to Nick Fuentes and anybody else who thinks that Hitler is great and that the Holocaust never happened? Is that what he's saying? Is he suggesting that we have to open the Republican Party big tent to include people who are Nazis? And I'm asking that because that's exactly what he just said. And so now they're all trying to backtrack what Kevin Roberts said. It's not like he was speaking off the cuff. Somebody actually sat down and wrote a script for the guy, and he was reading it. And if he hadn't read it before he went on TV, then that's on him. So my question, ladies and gentlemen, is what do we do here? I mean, because we are at a pivotal point. Now, back in 2024, the Republican Party platform was weakened on issues related to abortion and marriage. So a lot of the culture war issues within the Republican Party platform, those planks were intentionally weakened, and evangelical Christians like Tony Perkins, for example, and Mike Huckabee were pushed to the side. And now here we are where, you've got the Heritage Foundation saying that we should go out there and embrace people who are fans of Joseph Stalin and Adolf Hitler. It seems to me that we are moving to a point where there will be very little difference between the Republican Party platform and the Democrat Party platform. And I got big problems with that. All right, we're going to open up the phone lines on this, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. The bigger issue here is we have four major elections coming up on Tuesday. And instead of focusing on those elections, you've got the entire conservative movement embroiled in some sort of a civil war over whether or not Hitler was a bad guy. We'll be right back. Friends, here's a reality check. Your biggest retirement expense likely isn't groceries or health care. It's taxes. Add inflation eating away at your dollar, and it's easy to see why so many run out of money. Lassiter Capital helps solve that problem by giving you access to real estate investments designed to generate income, protect against inflation, and provide huge tax advantages. Founder Ty Lassiter calls it the four keys to investment success. Visit LassiterCapital.com/Starnes or call 817-912-1569 to schedule your free consultation. You know, I mean, at some point you do have to wonder, are any of these folks that have just been just rabidly anti-Israel, are they being funded by Qatar or any other Muslim countries? That's a fair question, and it ought to be explored. Regardless, you know, you gotta go back and you've got to understand who Tucker Carlson really is. In 2015, 2016, in 2021, Tucker Carlson was on the record talking about how bad Donald Trump was for the country. Take a listen to Cut 7.
I don't think Trump would be a good president. I think he'd probably cancel the next election if he got elected. You know.
It happened because we didn't understand the country we preside over. And by we, not just the political class in D.C., but anybody with authority or money in the United States.
Referring to Trump, Carlson says, I hate him passionately. I can't handle much more of this.
We are very, very close to being able to ignore Trump most nights. I truly can't wait, Carlson texted.
That Trump is, in his words, a demonic force, a destroyer, but he's not going to destroy us.
So those were text messages that were discovered in the one of the big lawsuits. I think this was, one of the voting machine lawsuits. So, again, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot more to this, and I think a lot of folks within the conservative movement have been snookered. I truly do, and I think that's where I think that's where we are at with all of this. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I have always been an America First conservative, and I also believe that we need allies, and those allies are very beneficial to us, and it's very important for us to have a friend in the Middle East, and Israel is that friend. And we have had a long-standing relationship and partnership with Israel. I don't understand why now all of a sudden, you've had these Jew haters just spring up out of nowhere and suddenly attack conservatives for their long-cherished, long-held beliefs. That makes absolutely no sense to me. But I can tell you this. Something is going on here, folks. There are forces at work dividing Republicans and trying to destroy the MAGA movement. And if you look at Tucker going back through the years, his positions have changed many, many, many times. Many times over the years. So my encouragement to you is do your homework. You believe what you believe, not because somebody else believes it, but you cannot live and die by whatever Tucker Carlson tells you, because his opinion may very well change by tomorrow. All I can tell you is I've believed what I've believed from day one. My opinions haven't changed all that much. Except on one person, and that was Donald Trump. I was a Ted Cruz guy back in 2015, but I got on board that Trump wagon, and I never got off. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
It Experience the drama behind the greatest book of all time. CBN Films' latest documentary, Oracles of God, recreates the origins of the New Testament with dramatic reenactments, stunning archaeological evidence, and insights from scholars that will change the way you view the New Testament.
Christianity did not begin in a lie, and we can and we must demonstrate this.
In theaters nationwide, November 2nd, 3rd, and 5th only. Tickets available at cbn.com/gettickets.
All right, a lot of campaigning going on in some major states, including New Jersey. We're going to check in a little bit later on in the show with some new polling data. Looks like New Jersey could go red, and it is that could be a big, big day for Republicans there in the Garden State, not so much in Minneapolis, New York City, and Virginia. And we'll get to those races a little bit later on today. Let's go to the phone lines. Houston, Texas. Alan is listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Now, Alan, is this true? Are you a Democrat?
Heck yeah, I'm proud of it.
All right, well, I'm glad you're proud of it, but welcome to the show.
No, and thank you very much for taking my call. I can't say that I listened to you before, but I was flipping around, and I was actually surprised that I heard dissent on issues in the Republican Party. And even on an issue like whether the Republican Party should stand lockstep in support of Hitler and Nazism, you're actually creating a great conversation, and I'm surprised that you haven't been canceled yet, because you know the Democrats can't agree on anything. We are, as Mark Twain said, we're not an organ party, we're Democrats. But the Republican Party always impresses me that no matter what the issue, whether it's tariffs or you know undeclared war in the Caribbean, or uniform enforcement of immigration laws, everything. There's no disagreement, but you've got the courage to actually stand up, and I hope your radio show can use after today.
Well, this is your first time listening, apparently, because I am my own man here, Alan. I am a conservative, and I don't walk lockstep in with any party. I am a registered Republican, but I disagree with a lot of things the Republican Party does. I vehemently disagree with everything the Democrats are doing. And I would say that, and I heard a few of the, I hear what you're doing there with some of those issues. But the reality is, Alan, when it comes to racism, when it comes to anti-Semitism, there is no place in the Republican Party for that, just none whatsoever.
And I'm proud to hear you say that.
But let me ask you this:
I've been a long time Democrat, long enough that I've got many friends, believe it or not, who are Republicans, and they are, they're not comfortable with the Republican Party today. And
Why would they not be comfortable, Alan, as opposed to the Democrat Party right now, where they can't even figure out what a woman is? And you've got these supporters, disciples of the DEI movement who are blatant racist. I mean, this is, when you look at racism within the ranks of the Democrat Party right now, it's really breathtaking.
I don't think so. I mean, I've been a Democrat my whole life, and my views, I don't think people should be judged differently based on the color of their skin. And, you know, we don't have quotas. Affirmative action is pretty much dead. Sure, there's dissent in the Democratic Party, way too much, but there's plenty of dissent in the party. But I don't adopt the views of some of the folks who are on the far left, and I don't think the majority of Democrats do. Just like I would hope at one point in time that the majority of the Republican Party would have adopted the views of Nick Fuentes and Tucker Carlson and those folks.
Well, they're outliers. And here's the problem the Republicans have, Alan. And again, you're a newcomer, so I'm going to try to catch you up to speed on where we're at and how we operate here. One of the big challenges the Republicans are having is that they've had a lot of populists coming into the party. So really, the current iteration of the Republican Party is really not the Republican Party. It's sort of a hybrid. So you've got a lot of folks coming into the party that would consider themselves to be populist. And some of those folks have some pretty radical views about things. Now, the question is, who wins the day? Who's going to claim that mantle in 2028? And that's going to be a big problem that the Republicans have to deal with. You guys, on the other hand, are dealing with a massive problem when you've got folks like Jasmine Crockett and AOC and Ilhan Omar who truly believe they are the mainstream of the party. I think that is going to be the big problem for Democrats, because most voters, they're not connecting with that.
I definitely hear you. I know plenty of Democrats who like their views but wouldn't support them for national or state office. But the question I have is, I have been a student of politics for a long time, and I don't think Gerald Ford, Ronald Reagan, or any of George W. Bush or George H.W. Bush would have a place in the Republican Party today. And that, I don't adopt their views. I didn't vote for them ever. But it makes me sad that there's no level of conversation or dissent that would allow their points of view to remain in the party. And that's a problem, because they may be mainstream, but mainstream seems to be a very nasty word in the Republican Party now.
No, I don't think so. I mean, when you look at the numbers and look at the numbers on Election Day last year, it's pretty clear that President Trump had drilled down to, you know, the pulse beat of the nation on a lot of issues, including immigration, which has been a massive problem. And hopefully that's going to get resolved. You know, the deportations are not happening as quickly as they should. That is a problem. I would say that, of course, first of all, Gerald Ford and Ronald Reagan actually did not like each other at all. And H.W. Bush and Reagan, they got along in a friendly sort of a way. But Reagan, aside from his issue on amnesty, I think Reagan was a brilliant president, and I think he did a phenomenal job. The issue is, I don't think Reagan saw how amnesty could lead to a situation that, you know, we're in now, where you basically had completely open borders, you know, during the Biden administration. I mean, it's just been tragic what's happened to our country. Hey, Alan, I got to leave it there. I like you. You sound like a reasonable guy, even though you're on the other side of the aisle.
And I would just conclude with this: is I've really enjoyed speaking with you, and this reminds me of the kinds of debates I would have with Republicans in the 80s, 90s, 2000, but I just can't have. We're not demons. We don't hate America. And thank you very much for letting me speak with you. I enjoyed it.
Well, thank you. And Alan, you're listening to a great radio station, Patriot Talk 920, there in Houston. Family-owned station, by the way, and we sure appreciate them. Thank you for calling in. 901-260-5926. There you go. Alan from Houston, and sounds like a reasonable guy. And, yeah, look, the reality of it is, you know, back when Reagan was president, were we really focused on illegal immigration as a nation? No, not really. I don't think we were. I was just a little kid back then, but I don't remember that being a big, big issue at the time. So sometimes in the moment, your politics may seem great, but, you know, 20, 30, 40 years down the road, maybe not so much. And so that's what we're dealing with here. 901-260-5926 is our number. Oh, by the way, I don't know how he does it. Shanklin is our guy in D.C. He's always got the inside scoop on politics. And apparently we've got a new ad dropping, Obama for Ma'am Dami. Let's take a listen.
My fellow Americans and the people of New York City, when Zoran Mandami came on the scene, I thought, now there's a guy who's a lot like me, an underdog candidate from out of nowhere with a funny name, fathered by a communist professor from a failed African country. And like me, he just loves the Muslim call to prayer from a cheap loudspeaker on top of his mosque. But he has a winning smile, and a lot of new ideas.
First, we will commandeer the means of production from the Jews.
Zohan will do for the people of New York.
Of the gender deprived homeless. After we tear down what was once,
I'm so pleased to
because we fully realize we are the ones we've been waiting for.
Oh, never mind. Just keep smiling. But not like that.
So apparently Obama has not only endorsed, but has now taken back his endorsement all within the span of 60 seconds. Oh, by the way, speaking, if you think Ma'am Dami, I'm telling you, Ma'am Dami has a lot in common with Nicholas of Fuentes. I want you to take a listen to this little ditty about Joseph Stalin.
So it was like mid-late December. It's actually funny. It was December 18th. I remember because that's an important date to me. And it's Joseph Stalin's birthday. I'm a fan.
You're a fan of Stalin's.
Mm-hmm. Always an admirer, but we don't need to go into that. I guess.
Let's get back. We'll circle back to that.
It was weird because the reason I mentioned that, it was almost like, because I woke up that day and I was like, oh, it's December 18th. And I was just like very acutely aware of like, today's like a strange day. This is the day that the attempt happened.
Okay, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Got to take a break. This is the Todd Stern Show. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98 and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. MyTowels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a 6-piece MyTowel set, normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium MyPillows made with Giza cotton, queen $17.98, kings only $19.98. Also, for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS. So over the weekend, I certainly appreciate Andy Hoosier filling in for me on Friday. I had to drive to Branson, Missouri. And if you haven't been to Branson, what a great town. I will say this, Dylan, they already have the Christmas decorations up.
They're prepared.
I'm like, whoa, what just happened? We just had Halloween, and the next thing you know, they're singing O Tannenbaum.
People like to skip over Thanksgiving. I need the Thanksgiving music, decorations. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they do it up big in Branson.
You've been to Branson.
Of course, yes.
Holy smokes, those hills.
Man.
The hotel was at the bottom of the hill. I'm like, I'm not getting out of it. I'm staying put.
No, it's beautiful over there.
It's wonderful. Well, the National Association of Christian Lawmakers was having their national convention over at the College of the Ozarks. And it was just a phenomenal week. I was the master of ceremonies. And it's hard to wrangle. You know, you got to keep everybody on time. And when you've got a room full of preachers and politicians, it's almost a hopeless cause. I mean, it really is. I needed a cattle prod, maybe. I don't know. Or a trapdoor. Maybe do the old gong show and just get the gorilla on stage with the hook. But it was a lot of fun. And I'm telling you, I was so impressed with the former Attorney General John Ashcroft was the keynote speaker, receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award. And he delivered just a beautiful Christian message. And it was really interesting to watch hundreds of lawmakers singing "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine." I thought that was pretty clever. Also, I got a chance to visit and spend some time with our good friend, Congressman Marlon Stutzman from Indiana. His wife was there as well. And she was a state representative from Indiana. Is very involved in musical theater. She's an opera singer and just a lot of fun, very delightful. But here's what really took me by surprise. I had never been to the College of the Ozarks, and I was just blown away by what I discovered. So this is called, the university is called Hard hard work university, because when you go there, you have a job. So everybody that's a student there, they're assigned a job on campus, a task, and they work hard. And then the rest of their tuition is filled with scholarship money. So the whole idea is that by the end of the 4 years, they graduate with no debt. And not only do they have a degree, but they also have some sort of a work skill set. And I'll give you an example. They have a working dairy there. So they're at a creamery. So they make their own ice creams. They have the milk, fresh milk. They do the eggs, the whole night. They have a whole ag center there. And they even have a candle making factory that the students work in, as well as stained glass. And sure enough, I was able to tour. I took a little tour on Saturday and got to see all of this in real time. It was just really just amazing. They also have a grist mill right there on campus. And you better believe I stocked up on grits and cornmeal. So I'll be making some cornbread this week. The weather is just perfect for it here in the southern states now. So anyway, I had a chance to sit down and speak with the college president. They want me to come back and speak to the students, and you know, we're going to make that happen. But I was so impressed that these young people, every single one of them, are just hard workers, and they do a great job. They make their own candles, the scented stuff, you know, the girly candles. Dylan, you know, they smell, you know, perfumey.
Of course.
You know,
I've had to shop for my wife and mother a couple times.
Does she make you smell do you have to smell the candles?
Every single one.
Yeah?
Yes. Yeah. You get dragged through the candle shop. It could be a good or bad. Well, it's never really a bad day, but you smell a lot of things.
I kid you not. The food is just off the charts. All the butter is churned there.
Mm.
All the rolls, everything's homemade.
Wow.
Homemade biscuits. I posted that on Instagram. I said that we're going to have, I said, I've got a plate full of hot buttermilk biscuits. The problems of the world will have to wait for another time. I have more pressing issues. Oh, homemade jams too. Peanut butter. My goodness. Yeah.
They do everything.
I stocked up. I went grocery shopping. You can actually buy all the products as well. College of the Ozarks.
They're going to survive during the apocalypse.
That's where I'm heading. Yeah, that's my prepper zone right there. Well, the problem is getting there, though, because it's like 100, it's 240 some odd miles, right? So most, half of it is interstate. That's not a problem. Then you get off and it's a 2-lane road through the mountains, and it's like this, 60 miles an hour, then 40 miles an hour. And it's just like, boom. And they're, the cops are all over the place. So the entire, for 100 and some odd miles, you're driving through speed trap after speed trap.
Yikes.
Wow. That was.
Well, you don't want to be going fast up or down a mountain. So I guess it's smart.
But hold on. I'm in this one town, and I kid you not, I forget what town it was, but it kind of creeped me out. And you know, I'm Southern. Yep. So I've been there. So it was like, it was dark and rainy, you know, just kind of like gloomy. And the road narrowed to like 20 miles an hour through the downtown street. I mean, you could barely drive your car. And as I am going into the town, I see a sign that said White Pride Radio.
Oh
yeah.
Wow.
And then I'm like driving through and I see people like wearing military fatigues. And all I could think of was, don't stop, keep going.
Speed up.
And don't change the radio station. I'm like, jeez. What the heck is going on here? Anyway, I didn't ask any questions. I got out of Dodge. I thought I heard somebody playing banjo music. That could have been just my mind playing games on me. But when I saw the pigs running down the mountainside, I'm like, I hit the gas. I'm out of here. All that to say, it was a lovely weekend. And God bless the kids at College of the Ozarks. Branson, great town. I've got to go back because our good friend Alan Pello is doing something with Ken Ham and Answers in Genesis, and they've got a cool theater that just opened. So we're going to have to get back there. Dylan, road trip.
Let's do it.
All right, we're gonna have to make sure we don't go through that town.
Please, no.
Kind of made me a little nervous. All right, I got to take a break here, everybody. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
November is National Family Caregivers Month. One in four Americans is stepping up to help older loved ones with everything from meals to bills. Family caregivers spend thousands out of their own pockets each year, and too many have to quit their jobs to keep providing care. Working families can't afford to wait. It's time to care for America's caregivers. Learn more at aarp.org/careforcaregivers. Paid for by AARP.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
All right, I have a question, Dylan. You're a Gen Z guy, so you're kind of like our representative. You represent your people. There's a story out about Chipotle. Did I get that right? I always mispronounce Chipotle.
Not Chipotle.
Not Chipotle. It's Chipotle.
It is lay.
Chipotle.
Yeah.
Chipotle. Yeah. I said it right. I got it right.
Chipotle.
Chipotle. I'd like some beef vaginas, please.
Gosh.
One of my favorite Family Guy episodes.
I don't think they have that at Chipotle.
No, they. I don't. I think you may be correct there. Mm-hmm. So, I'm just curious here. Chipotle's in trouble, and it has nothing to do with their food, which is really good. You know, they've come back. What was it? Oh, was it a couple of years ago? People were going and eating at Chipotle and then dying or something. It was like not good. They were getting some sort of like food poisoning.
Yeah. E. coli?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the guacamole is not supposed to smell like that. But anyway, whatever happened, and they overcame, and now it's really good, and they've opened one right around the corner from where I live. And I just haven't made it over there yet. One of the challenges is you have to stand in line, and there's always that person that's like the picky, you know, they're like every single thing has to go onto their whatever they're getting.
Yeah.
Their burrito.
Yeah. They don't have a drive-through.
No.
come on.
You'd run out of gas.
It
takes time. It's fast casual. I think that's the term they use.
Sure.
So anyway, apparently they're struggling to retain millennials and Gen Zers. They once made up a quarter of the fast casual chain sales. So, I mean, I guess a lot of people your age would go. Did you ever go to Chipotle?
I had my moments in college.
It's kind of an upscale Taco Bell.
Yeah, that's fair. It's like a Subway for people that like Chipotle.
No, it's kind of, I'm trying to figure out, it would be like, you know, I don't know, Fazoli's to Olive Garden.
Yeah, that's fair.
Something like that. So anyway, it turns out that many Gen Zers and young millennials can no longer afford to eat out at Chipotle. We're talking about ages 25 to 35. And apparently, according to this article, they're more worried about affording the necessities, which is good, but they've become less likely to splurge on a $15 burrito and pay extra for guacamole.
It's always extra for the guac. It's always extra for everything at Chipotle, actually.
That's the problem, right? Yeah, it's kind of like the add-on.
Yeah.
It's like when you go to the Cadillac dealership.
They're hitting Five Guys numbers here. It's kind of, I mean, for us Gen Z folk that are struggling, if you will,
with the
monies. Yeah, we don't go to Five Guys, and then Chipotle's now added. It's also not trendy anymore, so people just don't really go.
I will say this in defense of Five Guys. The French fries can feed a family of five.
This is true.
So yeah. They do kind of, you know, make up for it on the fries.
They do that on purpose, which I do appreciate. It will cost you your, like, pinky ring or pinky finger. So
do you still get the free peanuts over there, too?
I mean, they're just laying around on the floor. It's so
terrible. So nasty.
Free peanuts if you want them.
So nasty. So anyway, Chipotle says that their customer traffic has decreased over the 3 months ending September 30th, and for a third consecutive quarter, the company cutting its forecast for same-store sales growth. Chipotle's CEO told Wall Street Journal they're just eating with us less frequently and they're eating at home more often. You know what I like to do? And I haven't done this. I'm telling you, I haven't done this in forever. I was so exhausted, you know, driving and doing. And it's like I'm coming and going all the time and I'm just worn out. So I didn't want to go to the grocery store. And so I thought, you know what? I'm just going to order a pizza. And I'm a Papa John's guy.
Yep, that's correct.
Dylan, do you know, and I don't, I like go through the delivery at Papa John's. So it's not like through a Grubhub kind of a thing. It's like, have you ever had your pizza delivered?
Yes.
It's like $50 or $60.
Yeah.
I'm like, holy cow.
Yeah, they want your money over there.
Oh my gosh. It's just insane.
Yeah. But I mean, Papa John's is the best. I'm glad you choose Papa John's, but yeah.
They have good wings.
Yeah.
I love the wings.
Mm.
Unsauced.
It is lunchtime, so. Mm,
there you go. So anyway, I'm just curious, ladies and gentlemen, about, are you surprised by this? And I'm just wondering if any of you remember the time. What I very rarely did we ever go out to eat as a family. And Dylan, I'm curious, how often would you and Mrs. Producer go out for, you know, just for a meal? Instead
too much.
Of cooking at home, you go out.
Way too much. Well, we don't, yeah. When we first got married, we made the excuse of we're now married and we can just eat out whenever we want to. So we did that. Now we're sort of taking steps back and going to the grocery store and actually making a list. And yeah, I mean, it's been better, but we still kind of splurge here and there. Yeah. So it's just, maybe it's just chalk it up to first year marriage.
I'm going to give you a life hack.
Please.
So I was a big fan of the Red Lobster.
Yes.
And and the only reason I love Red Lobster is, first of all, they have pretty good shrimp, but it's the tartar sauce and those cheddar biscuits, but predominantly the tartar sauce. I've been cutting back on the breads, aside from what happened in Branson over the weekend. That was a tragedy. That was a big step backwards.
You can't deny it, though.
No, it's true. It's true. But it was healthy because it had strawberry jam on it. So that's a fruit.
Yep.
So anyway, by the way, I went back to get another biscuit, and I actually put some cantaloupe on the plate just to make it look like I was healthy.
It's a balanced meal.
I didn't eat the cantaloupe. So anyway, I go there for the tartar sauce. They have great tartar sauce at Red Lobster.
Yeah.
If you Google, like, Red Lobster tartar sauce recipe, you can find that, and you can actually make it at home, and it tastes just like Red Lobster.
I've been thinking about doing that with ketchup, because you know me. I love my ketchup, and I'll buy it in gallons, and that's true. So I could make it.
You could.
But I have to, like, find this. I have to find Heinz.
I think you could do it.
So if I want to really be cheap, I can make my own everything, I guess.
You could do it. So I have Mrs. Paul's fish sticks and Red Lobster tartar sauce.
Wow.
And save like $30.
And it's just as good.
And you don't have to worry about, you know, the folks next door to you, you know, getting into a fist fight with the waiter and all of that.
Well, you know,
stuff.
You get a dinner and a show. So, I mean, you miss the show, but
it does make you money. Want. Yeah, no, it's in all seriousness, though, there was a time. And I think your generation, they misunderstood the point of having like a Starbucks and a, you know, a Chick-fil-A. It was supposed to be a very random thing as opposed to every single day.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're spending how much, I mean, how much is a Starbucks?
Ooh.
What is it?
$10 to $15.
$10 to $15 a day.
Yeah.
You know, 5 days a week. I mean, that adds up.
Yeah. And I think our generation struggles with the fact that it's so convenient. I mean, now you have DoorDash, Uber Eats. It's so convenient. And then that money adds up. You don't really realize how much you've spent in a month. And then, you know, you're struggling with rent and you're questioning like, oh, our generation's struggling. Well, you're actually spending money every single day on Chick-fil-A. So maybe think about that.
It's a valid point. Yeah. So the question here is, I think we're watching priorities get back in order. You know, at least these young people are now understanding, oh, wait a second. I can't eat out all the time. I'm going to have to economize. I'm going to have to live within a budget. And Chipotle now is trying to come up with some sort of a way to get people back, and they're thinking promising free guacamole is going to bring people back. I'm not sure that's the problem. I think it's the $15, the $20 burrito with the add-ons. So I'm just curious if you remember back, you know, when you were growing up, we just very, very seldom. I mean, if we were going to McDonald's once a month, I mean, that was a huge thing. And for us, as like little kids, when they opened up the very first Wendy's, you know, that was like high-end hamburger joints for us back in the day. And it was just very, very rare, you know, that we did stuff like that. So anyway, it's fascinating watching what the restaurant industry, they're really going through it. I don't think they've really ever recovered from COVID. And now they're dealing with the economy. So it's a big, big challenge for these restaurants. So and when you throw onto that these mandatory minimum wages that are so out of whack, it's just insane. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll take your calls on that. I'm wondering, though, if parents, if you're having those conversations, you know, when you talk about getting married, you know, what does that look like? What does your budgeting look like? And what does it look like when you're, you know, you're single and you're moving out on your own for the very first time? Does your mom tell you, you know, son, you know, you can't be eating out every single night? I mean, it's fair enough. It's a good question. Meanwhile, SNAP benefits, they expired, what, Saturday? So November 1st, it's over. I have not seen any rioting except for a Domino's Pizza in somewhere in New Jersey. And that was ugly. They had a mob of people inside, and they were throwing chairs at police officers. That was ugly. But so far, I haven't seen anybody rioting down at the Piggly Wiggly. I love how this one guy described it, only in America. Cut number one.
Only in America do we have people that have $1,200 iPhones checking to see if their SNAP benefits hit.
It's true, right? Cut number five, please.
Americans of every color are fed up with ghetto behavior. It's not about race. It's about standards. Wearing bonnets, pajama pants, and house shoes in public, looking like you rolled out of bed, isn't a fashion statement. It's ghetto. People fighting on cruise ships, in restaurants, at airports, it's embarrassing, not entertaining. It's ghetto. Yelling on speakerphone in public spaces, screaming across aisles, cursing in front of kids. Being loud isn't a personality. It's a lack of discipline. It's ghetto. Bellies hanging out. Tight shorts. Two sizes too small. Sagging pants. Ski mask in summer. It's not edgy. It's exhausting. It's ghetto. Blasting obnoxious music in public spaces. Parking lots, gas station, grocery stores, with the whole crew gathered around like it's a block party. That is not culture. That is ghetto. Those giant plastic winged eyelashes doesn't make you look good. They make you look like a caricature. It's ghetto.
She's not wrong. I mean, you know, that's, and it's, I just don't, you know, it seems to me that your eyelids are only built for a certain amount of weight. And it seems to me that you would have a lot of pain because those eyelashes, it's like they're struggling to keep them up. You know what I mean? And then, God forbid, you walk in. It's like, oh, my Lord, there's a spider on your eye. Don't move. And the next thing you know, you got a black eye. It's really, I'm just saying, it's a problem. It's a problem. Look, I actually appreciate what this lady is saying. And so many other people are now stepping up and saying, and I'd love to be able to play some of this audio, but some of it is just so vile. But they're all making very good points. And one guy said that, hey, wait a second, I want you to show me in the Bible. Show me in the Bible where it says that I have to go out and go fishing and go hunting and then bring whatever I catch back to your house so you can feed your family. Show me in the Bible where it says I have to do that. Because that's what all the libtards are out there. And they're out there saying, oh, well, Jesus said that you just have to take everything out of your house and you have to give it to your neighbor. And if that means that your children have to run around buck naked, well, that's what Jesus would do. No, Jesus would not do that. As a matter of fact, the Bible is full of stories about people who were slackers, who were lazy. And those people don't get food. If you want food, you go get a job. Now, there are people out there, and they may have whatever kind of horrible circumstances that have befallen them. Yeah, that's what the government's there for, to help those people. But again, like the guy said, if you can afford a $1,200, iPhone, and if you are able-bodied enough to put together a TikTok channel and put out videos every day, then you're able-bodied enough to get off the butt of the lazy boy and go find a job. How difficult is that? I just don't understand. But all that to say, people are now waking up. And this is not a black, white, or brown issue. This is an American taxpayer issue. And I think folks are finally waking up and saying, wait a second, something's not right here. Back in 2023, the USDA did a study. They said that on average, it takes about $1,000 a month to feed a family of four. All right, that's the grocery bill. So if that's the case, why are we giving some of these people $4,000 and $5,000 a month checks to buy groceries? Why are we doing that? And that's what we've got to start really, really digging down and focusing on the corruption in the USDA among every other place. There are so many dumpster fires burning. It's insane. But all that to say, I will tell you this. I have heard, and I'm going, I have to go to the grocery store after my, after the show today. But I've been hearing that grocery stores are much calmer, peaceful. They're playing classical music now. People are smiling. They're happy to be there. Imagine that. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
November is National Family Caregivers Month. One in four Americans is stepping up to help older loved ones with everything from meals to bills. Family caregivers spend thousands out of their own pockets each year, and too many have to quit their jobs to keep providing care. Working families can't afford to wait. It's time to care for America's caregivers. Learn more at aarp.org/careforcaregivers. Paid for by AARP.
Well, apparently diseased monkeys are on the loose in Mississippi. You know, it's interesting. That headline is not as surprising as you think it might be. Dylan, I know that's, you're from Mississippi.
Yeah, it's true.
So,
but when I saw that headline, I was like, this is the start of the next
Planet of the Apes.
Yeah,
absolutely. you're not kidding. So, anyway, this Mississippi woman, called the cops. She said she was minding her own business, and all of a sudden she realized there was a monkey in the front yard. And I know there's a lot of crazy stuff going down in the South, but you know, that's a little unusual to have a monkey in your front yard. So she's got all of her kids there, and she was in bed. Her 16-year-old son came running in and said, Mom, there's a monkey running through the yard. And Mrs. Ferguson, Jessica Bond Ferguson, grabbed her cell phone and a gun, because that's what you do in America, right? You're always filming something. And she stepped outside and spotted the monkey about 60 feet away. And she took aim and she opened fire. She said, this is great. I did what any other mother would do to protect her children. I believe that. You know, moms of America, what would you do if you had a rampaging diseased monkey with herpes about ready to pounce on your kids? I think the monkey had herpes or hepatitis, one or the other. You know, it was not good. And so anyway, she shot the monkey and it just stood there. And at that point, I'm thinking, oh, crap, it is Planet of the Apes time. And so then
monkey. Aim for the head.
Aim for the head. And so she shot again, and that's when the monkey the monkey went down. Bad monkey. Bad monkey. Anyway, before Mrs. Ferguson stepped outside, she called police and was told to keep an eye on the monkey. She said, to heck with that. She's taking that thing down.
She kept more than an eye on a monkey.
Mm-hmm. She says, if it attacked somebody's kid and I could have stopped it, it would have been a lot on me. I you know what? She's a hero. The woman deserves something. She needs to go to, I don't know, the state capitol. Governor Tate Reeves needs to honor the woman. Because, again, we've got to, look, we've all seen Planet of the Apes. We've got to make sure the monkeys know their place in the pecking order. That's all I'm saying. Okay. Got to take a break here. Jeez, Lou. Monkeys on the loose.
November is National Family Caregivers Month. One in four Americans is stepping up to help older loved ones with everything from meals to bills. Family caregivers spend thousands out of their own pockets each year, and too many have to quit their jobs to keep providing care. Working families can't afford to wait. It's time to care for America's caregivers. Learn more at aarp.org/careforcaregivers. Paid for by AARP.
Well, someone just sent me a video from Memphis, Tennessee, one of our listeners on KWAM, our great radio affiliate. A 9-year-old boy celebrating his birthday, and he wants to be a police officer when he grows up. So his mom called, I guess, the police department and said, hey, look, you know, my little son is having a, he's turning 9 years old and he wants to be a police officer. And, you know, is there any way that a, maybe an officer come by and say hello? So there's this amazing video. The Memphis police rolled in 10 cars deep. They had the sirens going the whole nine yards, and the officers all pile out, and they give the little boy all these great little gifts, and it's a great thing. This is really what it's all about. You know, if you talk about changing hearts and minds and, you know, establishing that the police officers are your friends, they are there to protect you, to keep you safe, they're there to go after the bad guys, you know, this is what it's going to take. These little kinds of things here, and I say well done to the Memphis Police Department. Apparently one of the highway patrol officers, a THP, was there as well. So well done, all of you guys. All right. There is a story out of, well, Dinesh D'Souza, and we're going to bring in our guest Steve Gill in just a moment. I want to set this story up because it really does sort of tie in with what's happening with Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes. And I'm just gonna ask this question here, and this is gonna offend some people, but I think it's a fair question. Is the Republican Party only meant for white European people? The WASPs are, is that there? Can anybody else join the party? And I'm asking that because so now you got the whole crowd saying, well, Jews are no longer welcome, and people who like Jews are no longer welcome in the party, and you've got a lot of people that are upset that minorities are joining the party. And so now people are coming after Vivek Ramaswamy. He posted a little photograph of him and his kids on Halloween, and people are going bonkers insane. And Dinesh D'Souza writing an op-ed saying, hey, look, there will be a mass desertion of minorities from the Republican Party if these kinds of attacks continue. Now, a lot of it has to do with H-1B. That's a legitimate issue. But I think we need to be very careful here that we're not telling people or even sending a message that minorities are not welcome in the Republican Party. I want to bring in Steve Gill, the publisher of TriStarDaily.com. Steve, this is some ugly and unnecessary stuff we're dealing with right now.
Yeah, let's stop shooting ourselves in the foot with double-barreled shotguns. And they're also coming after J.D. Vance's wife because, quote, she don't look white enough to be married to the VP. I mean, this is ridiculous. It's disgusting. And Todd, like you, I completely condemn this attitude that you have to look a certain way to be a Republican. I'm more with whether you follow the principles, the ideas, the ideology of conservative-based political viewpoints than I am what color your skin is.
Yeah, that being said, this whole H-1B, and I know what people are doing here. You know, they're instead of attacking the issue, they're attacking the people the issue is benefiting, which is a lot of Indian Americans that are flooding the job market. And we talked about this a lot last week. The situation at FedEx is really bad. It's not getting a lot of national attention, but a lot of very, very good, solid American workers are getting laid off and they're being replaced by cheap Indian workers. And then there's this story out of Sevier County, Tennessee. Steve, I don't know if you've seen this audio, but some guy posted this. He's upset because somebody told them that they're not renting houses or trailers to white people. Take a listen.
I'm sorry. We don't rent to white people. Yeah, you just heard that. So
I'm here in Sevier County, okay? So I've been looking for another place for me and my family because I want to upgrade and move out. And there has been a couple of things online that I have been calling. Two of them had great prices. They were in a mobile home that had mobile homes for rent. So I called them, was like, hey, I got a family of four. I've got all my information I need. I've got my money, blah, blah, blah. I'm interested in renting it. First question she asked me, she's like, oh, okay, are you white? Yeah. I'm sorry, but right now we don't have any spots available for you only because of your protection. What the actual hell? They don't want to rent to me as a white man because they're afraid that I will cause an issue for me and their residents that are not white or black, by the way. I wish I was joking on this, and I'm going to bring some more information to this because I just alerted authorities to what's going on, and I've got some people looking into this, but this is absolutely happening here in Sevier County. They are not renting to white people. They're only renting to immigrants now.
Steve, this is where Dollywood is. I think people need to understand this is, you know, Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge, that's in that neck of the woods of East Tennessee. Are you hearing of this being a problem across the state?
I have not, and if that is the actual case, there is a heck of a lawsuit. They'll find a lawyer that will be happy to pursue that under the Constitution, under the other protections against discrimination based upon race, creed, and color. If they can show that's the case, it's a pretty clear lawsuit. Shouldn't be hard to find a good lawyer. The question I would have beyond that is, are there federal government regulations imposed on the renters, on these businesses, that they have to meet a certain minority quota under the federal government guidelines, and they're at their capacity of white folks, and they need more, you know, Latino, Hispanic, Black, Indian, or whatever. So often we have federal government regulations that are imposed on hiring, on renting, or you have companies that are afraid to violate the percentages that somehow the federal government is going to look at some point of whether or not they've overstepped their bounds. So without more details, it's kind of hard to comment on that. But I would say that with respect to those who are concerned about losing their job to, you know, Indian Americans, Indian immigrants, you're going to lose your jobs to AI. And I don't know what color AI is. I mean, is AI white? Is it black? Is it Hispanic? But the ability to ChatGPT and AI are going to increasingly replace a lot of those who are involved in the tech business is a real threat, much more, I think, than more Indian immigrants with H-1B visas. The other thing I would point out, Todd, is my concern with the H-1B visas is not as much the high technically trained, whether it's a medical doctor, whether it's a computer program or any of those kinds of jobs, where we need more of those and our schools in many cases aren't producing enough. My problem is the H-1B that's being used for dishwashers, for low-wage, low-skill jobs that are moving Americans out of jobs and moving these people in what is supposed to be sort of a technical or skilled H-1B qualification. And people have been ignoring that, violating that for quite some time.
Yeah, and again, that's no reason, you know, to be racist about it, which some people are trying to be. The issue here is that we have to put the needs of Americans first, and we have really got to go in, and if H-1B is really being abused to that level, then we've got to stop. We've got to just pull the plug on the entire program until we can get a handle on it, because it was my understanding, Steve, the whole point of H-1B was to bring in those brilliant minds. Not necessarily, exactly. You know, somebody, like you said, who's going to wash dishes.
And that's where it's been abused. And the way you fix that is, A, you crack down on who's coming in. But, B, you start punishing the employers. They know if they're committing fraud by completing an H-1B visa application for somebody to be a dishwasher or to handle their, you know, resort lawn cutting. They know they're cheating. They know they're lying. They need to be prosecuted. And the first time you start taking general managers of major hotels or hospitality businesses out in handcuffs, it will stop.
Oh,
that will stop
yeah.
it quicker than cracking down on those who are just looking for a job here and are complying with what an employer is telling them they can do. Perp walk a couple of of general managers of hotels, and it'll stop.
Steve Gill, the publisher of TriStarDaily.com, with us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Steve, I want to talk real quick about the elections tomorrow. I just don't get this. You've got Obama out there stumping for the guy who fantasizes about killing Republicans in Virginia. You've got high-level Republic or Democrats campaigning in New York City, in New Jersey, and Virginia, and even Minnesota. What are the Republicans doing? It's almost as if we're sitting this out. I don't get the strategy here.
You know, you have had Trump make a few statements. I think he recognizes that in kind of a purple Virginia, his full-throated endorsement may hurt as much as it helps. Although in a turnout election, making sure that all those MAGA voters in Virginia turn out in a lower turnout election could swing the difference. You know, the other fact is that is just reprehensible is we are told so much by the NAACP. We need to advance colored people, black people, and yet they're actively campaigning against Winsome Sears, who would be the first black female governor in America, in exchange for supporting a white liberal woman. Barack Obama, I don't want a black woman to win. I got to go help the white woman. So the hypocrisy, the racist hypocrisy of them not supporting a credible, strong, capable, amazing black woman to be the first black female governor in the U.S. is, I think, disgusting and reprehensible and displays their hypocrisy on an epic level.
What about New York City? It's so sad. I mean, I'm hoping for a miracle, but Curtis Sliwa, I just don't see it happening.
And again, he's willing to sacrifice his city for his own ego. I mean, that's to me, this guy is a perpetual candidate who loves to wear his beret and seem like he's out there on the streets fighting crime like some red beret Batman. The bottom line is he's about to turn New York City into an even worse cesspool than it is, just so he can get the attention that he's clamoring. And I think President Trump said it best. You know, given the choice between a communist socialist or a bad Democrat, I'm going to go with the bad Democrat in Andrew Cuomo because he is a better choice, and it is a zero-sum game. Either it's going to be Mamdani or it's going to be Cuomo. It's not going to be Curtis Sliwa. And at this point, it's too late for him to make a change. Early voting has ended. Whatever negative impact he has on that race has already been locked in. But Election Day could still swing things. And again, all he's doing is electing this crazed, you know, radical Islamist to power in New York City. My advice is that President Trump has said, build a wall. We need to be building one on the Mason-Dixon line to keep all these New Yorkers who are going to be fleeing where they're leaving and then trying to bring their views and perspectives that have made New York so broken to Tennessee and North Carolina and South Carolina and Florida and Georgia and Texas. We need to build a wall to keep these folks out.
Yeah, there's actually a headline. You're not kidding there. And it's not hyperbole. There are several reports out saying about 1 million New Yorkers are preparing to flee the city if, in fact, Mamdani wins. And this was a poll that's been conducted. Nearly 1 million New Yorkers preparing to leave. They surveyed registered voters last week, October 23 to 26. 9% said they would definitely leave the city. Additional 25% say they would consider leaving. I think it's going to be much higher than that once all the taxes kick in to pay for all this free stuff.
The good news is a lot of them will simply go across the river to New Jersey and further destroy that state. Hopefully, you know, Tinarelli can win the governor's race, and maybe he can build a quick wall to block off the New Yorkers from coming and infecting, you know, New Jersey with their perspectives and liberal ideology that has already made New York broken. You've got Mamdani, who's just going to be the law that completely destroys it. And all these New Yorkers, why don't you go to Minnesota? Why don't you go to Michigan, where you're going to feel much more comfortable with the same kind of policies that are breaking those cities that Mamdani is going to bring to New York? So stay up there. Go break the already broken places you've broken. Don't bring that stuff here.
All right, Steve Gill, we're going to have to leave it there, my friend. Always good hearing from you. TriStarDaily.com. Go check out Steve's website. Always a wealth of great political knowledge. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thanks, my friend.
All right, hang tight. We'll be right back, everybody.
November is National Family Caregivers Month. One in four Americans is stepping up to help older loved ones with everything from meals to bills. Family caregivers spend thousands out of their own pockets each year, and too many have to quit their jobs to keep providing care. Working families can't afford to wait. It's time to care for America's caregivers. Learn more at aarp.org/careforcaregivers. Paid for by AARP.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. 901-260-5926, Bartlett, Tennessee. Lee is listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Lee, what's going on?
Hey, Todd, just have a question. Have you been, like, I haven't been to the mall myself up until recently. I used to do security there back in the United States before I went to the sheriff's department. But here recently, I had to step in there, take care of some business. And it's like Little Bombay. Everything from the carousel to every kiosk in there, and there's a lot of them, is Indians. And even a lot of the smaller stores are Indians. So, I mean, I tell you that because I was like, what? I mean, like even the carousel. So I don't know what's going on with that. I just thought I'd ask you if you knew that or what you thought about that.
Well, we had been getting some reports. I know from FedEx that a lot of their longtime employees have been laid off and replaced with H-1B visa holders from India. We had a caller from out in the suburbs in Collierville, Tennessee, who said they've noticed a massive influx of Indians into their community. And I remember a couple of weeks ago, Lee, I was flying back. I forget where I was at, but I was flying back, and I was maybe one of only two Anglos on the plane. Everybody else is pretty much Indian-American. And I thought, that's just unusual. But apparently we're watching a big influx of Indian-American immigrants into the Memphis area. So the question I have is this, and I don't have a problem as long as it's legal immigration. I'm good with that. But again, if all of these folks are coming in on the H-1B visa, that is a problem because that's meant to bring in the very best, most highly qualified individuals. We don't need people in marketing or, you know, working at the 7-Eleven.
Yeah, we don't want to dumb down America. The whole point is to build up America.
Not only build up America, but to assimilate. And that's a problem with our modern-day immigrants. Many of them just simply do not want to assimilate. They want to come in and destroy America. There was a rally over the weekend. I believe this was in the Seattle suburbs. And people were waving to a person. Everybody was waving Palestinian flags, chanting death to America. Well, you know what? If you hate our country, if you hate our way of life, go back to where you came from. I mean, it really is that simple.
Yeah, and the other day I saw a guy standing on the overpass on a Whitney Road on 40, waving a Palestinian flag, hanging half his body hanging over, just waving the flag around. No American flag next, nothing, just a plain old Palestinian flag, just waving it back and forth for like hours and hours.
Lee, it's unacceptable, and that angers me, and I think it angers a lot of other people as well. You know, our families all came here from other places. Mine came here from Germany, and when we came here, my great-grandparents learned the language. They learned the customs. They assimilated, and I don't understand why current iterations of immigrants aren't doing that. Lee, I got to run, my friend. We are running late for a break here. Thank you for that. Also, if you are in Virginia or New Jersey, I'm curious to hear what is the mood there? What is the vibe? In Virginia, it's a little dicey right now with the Republicans and the latest polling data, and we'll get into that coming when we come back from the break. Latest polling data shows Winsome Sears down by about 10 points, and we're going to need a big surge of Republicans tomorrow to make sure she goes to the governor's office. All right, your calls coming up as well, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
November is National Family Caregivers Month. One in four Americans is stepping up to help older loved ones with everything from meals to bills. Family caregivers spend thousands out of their own pockets each year, and too many have to quit their jobs to keep providing care. Working families can't afford to wait. It's time to care for America's caregivers. Learn more at aarp.org/care for caregivers. Paid for by AARP.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
My fellow Americans and the people of New York City, when Zoran Mondami came on the scene, I thought, now there's a guy who's a lot like me. An underdog candidate from out of nowhere with a funny name, fathered by a communist professor from a failed African country. And like me, he just loves the Muslim call to prayer from a cheap loudspeaker on top of his mosque. But he has a winning smile and a lot of new ideas.
First, we will commandeer the means of production from the Jews.
Zohan will do for the people of New York.
Of the gender-deprived homeless. After we tear down what was once,
I'm so
to
pleased
build back
to
better
endure,
because we fully realize we are the
I'm
ones we've been waiting for.
Oh, never mind. Just keep smiling. But not like that.
Yeah. But we believe this was, pardon me, ladies and gentlemen, a Barack Obama promo for and an endorsement for Zoran Mamdani that apparently got pulled at the last minute. But we cannot confirm or deny that. Our good man, Paul Shanklin is working to track down that information. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Todd Starnes Show. Mamdani, by the way, maintaining a double-digit lead over Andrew Cuomo. It's not looking good, folks. It's just not looking good in New York City. I will say this, also not looking good in Virginia, in the Commonwealth, where Abigail Spanberger is now dealing with a 10-point lead over Winsome Sears. Now, we just got a call from Rick in High Point, North Carolina, was driving through Western Virginia and saw a lot of signs for Winsome. So hopefully Republicans are going to show up in big numbers on Election Day tomorrow. Well, we've been following the latest with the SNAP benefits, the shutdown of the government, the Schumer shutdown. I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to Stephen Vaden. He is the Deputy Secretary of USDA. Also, he was born right here in good old Memphis, Tennessee. So you know he's good people. Stephen, good to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for having me on, Todd.
So we've been waiting, and so far, I know a lot of people were threatening to do crazy stuff and, you know, riot and loot all the grocery stores. So far, that has not happened. Regardless, there are people that are in need that are not getting their benefits. And Stephen, I think it's pretty clear that this is all on the Democrats, certainly not on the Republican Party.
Well, it is, because all we need is normal appropriations, and the Republicans in Congress have voted at this point, 14, 15 times to fund the government, and each time the opposition has refused to fund it, and that's why we're in the situation that we're in, where those who need help to purchase groceries, those who are truly in need, are not getting it and are going to find that it's delayed, and it's all because of the party in Congress that pretends to care about them the most, the Democrats.
So let's talk about the SNAP program, because I know that there's been a lot of concern over fraud, exactly how many illegals may or may not be getting SNAP benefits. First of all, they're not supposed to get any, from my understanding. What have you guys been able to ascertain so far?
Well, Todd, keeping in mind that we only have basically the red states data. We don't have California. We don't have Illinois. We don't have New York. They're suing to try to keep us from getting their data. The amount of fraud that we have found is startling and surpasses the publicly acknowledged error rate, which is bad in and of itself, of 10%. We've got people who are engaging in garden variety fraud. That is to say, they're receiving benefits from multiple states simultaneously. We found multiple instances of dead people receiving food stamp benefits. We found plenty more of the same person with the same Social Security number listed in multiple states. And these are in red states where conventional wisdom might say they're keeping a little closer eye on it than they might be, for example, in the New York metropolitan area. So who knows what we will find when we finally get all of the state's data and the governors of New York, Illinois, and California, among other such places, have to cough it up. But right now, if we just assumed that those states and the rest of the blue states that have not turned over their data have the same rate of fraud that we are seeing with the roughly half of the states that have turned over their data, I mean, Pete Hegseth could be sitting on plenty more aircraft over there at the Air Force with the number, with the amount of money that we would save if we weren't fraudulently paying out food stamp benefits. And that's why we need this data to put a halt to these needless expenditures, because every dollar we spend on someone who doesn't deserve it is a dollar that doesn't go into the hands of someone who's actually in need.
No, I think this is, I mean, it's an important point you're making here. Do you guys have any sort of a percentage? How many, what percentage of illegals out of all the people on SNAP, what percentage are illegal?
We don't have those numbers at the ready right now. And I will say that we're finding more garden variety fraud homegrown here in the USA than necessarily finding large numbers of illegal immigrants on it. But again, we don't have California, New York, and states like that, which have been sanctuary states. So the states where that is most likely to happen, we don't have their data. We've got Texas and Florida and Tennessee, among other states, and they understandably have always sought to enforce their immigration laws. So we don't know what we're going to find when we get California, for example's data. All we know is that they're so desperate to keep us from seeing it, they've gone to federal court before a favorable judge in an effort to try to keep us from seeing what the numbers actually reveal about who's receiving food stamp benefits in California and the other blue states.
Yeah, that's not, I think we have a pretty good idea why they're not wanting to turn over that that information, that data. I'm curious, when you look at, you mentioned the garden variety fraud, and there have been so many videos, and you never know what's real, what's AI, but there are people out there claiming that they're getting $4,000 or $5,000 a month SNAP benefits. Is that possible? Are people getting that much in the way of government assistance?
Well, let me tell you something that we have found that will be of interest. So every month, taxpayers spend approximately $9 billion with a B dollars on SNAP benefits. That's the total amount of food stamp benefits plus money to all of the 50 states to administer the program. We ran some numbers because we knew that the funding had lapsed, and we wondered how much money would be on people's cards, because there's no requirement that they spend it by the end of every month. You can carry over unused balances from month to month. Now, keeping in mind that not all $9 billion per month goes on beneficiaries' cards. A good portion of that is used to help the states administer the program. But on November 1st, when the benefits lapsed, there was more than $2 billion with a B dollars in unspent SNAP funds on people's cards. We found individual cards that had balances up, and these are actual examples, more than $15,000. And in the most extreme example that we found, and you can bet we're going to investigate into this one, we found an individual EBT card that had more than $85,000 in unused funds on it.
What?
I don't know what the circumstances are for that particular household, but if you've got that much built up, it would seem to suggest that maybe you don't need the money to buy food on a monthly basis.
That's insane. $85,000.
Correct. You thought $15,000 was bad, but it turns out those people were just warming up compared to the other people. Now, these are outlier examples, but they do go to show you that this is why we need the data, because when we start running the data, we come up with multiple things like this that deserve investigation. And until we get data from California, Illinois, New York, and the other blue states that are suing, who knows what examples lie there there that we don't even know about yet.
Wow, I am just stunned by all this. We've got Stephen Vaden with us, Deputy Secretary of the USDA, and I'm wondering, are there things that you guys can do? For example, maybe on these cards, if the dollar amount goes over, you know, a certain amount, that you guys are alerted, or maybe the card is frozen, so you can make sure that something like this, you know, $85,000 or $15,000 doesn't happen again.
Well, this is why we need the data, because when we find examples that cause us to scratch our heads, we go to the states which administer the program and say, look, this is what we found in your data. You need to go confirm that this person is actually qualified to receive the money. You need to confirm that they're an American citizen. You need to confirm that their assets and their income fall below the levels required for qualification. You need to ensure that there is no fraudulent activity here. And so until we have all of the data, we can't ask all the questions that we need to ask. But for the states that have given us the data, we're working hand in glove with states like Texas. As we find problems, we're turning the data over to Texas and other states that are cooperating, and they're going to investigate. And then when we find problems, removing these people from the roll so they don't get any more taxpayer money to which they're not entitled.
All right. And we're just waiting again, the Schumer shutdown. Nobody's going to be getting a check or any kind of money until the Democrats come back to the table.
Well, it's real simple. If the Democrats are actually concerned about people getting their full food stamp benefit, all they need to do is vote for the continuing resolution that the House of Representatives has already passed. And within about 2 days after they vote, all of the money will be on beneficiaries' cards to which those in need are actually entitled. It's the quickest way to solve the problem, and it's a problem they themselves created when they decided to shut the government down.
Yeah, well said. All right, Stephen, we're going to leave it there. We really appreciate your great work, and I know a lot of our listeners really want to have this issue resolved. I mean, we're tired of the grift, and we're tired of having to go out and work and, you know, work our butts off, and then turn around and people are, you know, able-bodied people staying at home getting a check from the government.
Well, that's why we're fighting so hard in federal court. We're going to win these lawsuits, Todd, and when we do, we're going to find out the full scope of the fraud, and we're going to bring our knife out, and we're going to cut it out of the federal budget because it doesn't belong there, and people who work for a living and have to pay taxes shouldn't be subsidizing those who can and should be working for a living but choose not to.
All right, Stephen, thank you again. Ladies and gentlemen, Stephen Vaden, Deputy Secretary of USDA. Wow. What a story. You heard him tell us that they, in one case, they found somebody with $15,000 still on their card and $85,000. There has to be some sort of a mechanism there to make sure this kind of stuff just doesn't happen again. I mean, that's just nuts. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, President Trump is joining millions of Americans now watching Newsmax. That's right, Newsmax on cable. They're also watching Newsmax on our streaming channel, Newsmax 2. They're downloading our free Newsmax app on their smartphones and TVs. Reuters Institute says Newsmax, now one of the top news brands in the nation. Every night you have great shows, Rob Schmidt, Carl Higbee, Todd Stearns, and we are exposing big media. We're going after the Washington swamp. And we're never afraid to talk about faith, freedom, and the values that make us great. So I want you to find out why Newsmax is the fastest growing news channel in America. Make the switch today and join our news revolution. Get Newsmax on cable, streaming. Download the free app today. It takes just a few seconds. And let President Trump know that you stand with Newsmax. Real news for real people.
November is National Family Caregivers Month. One in four Americans is stepping up to help older loved ones with everything from meals to bills. Family caregivers spend thousands out of their own pockets each year, and too many have to quit their jobs to keep providing care. Working families can't afford to wait. It's time to care for America's caregivers. Learn more at aarp.org/careforcaregivers. Paid for by AARP.
All right, Let's go to the phone lines. Chris in Asheville, North Carolina. Hi, Chris. What's going on?
Hi, Todd. Thank you for taking my call, and I wanted to wish you a happy belated birthday. I wasn't able to call on the day of your birthday.
Well, thank you for that. You know, it's interesting. Wyatt Cox from our great Nevada talk station in Ely, Nevada, just sent me a package. And Dylan, turn on your microphone. And Chris, I'll have to tell you about this. It was all Dr. Pepper-themed products.
And Your favorite thing.
I'm eating Jelly Bellies, Dr. Pepper-flavored Jelly Bellies. And Dylan, they have Dr. Pepper-flavored Peeps.
Yep. And the candy.
I'll be sorry.
Candy, what's it called?
Oh, cotton candy.
It's the healthiest candy in the world.
That's it.
Anyway, I wanted to talk about food stamps. I was laid off 3 times in 17 months. I was going to apply for, at the time, they called it food stamps. And I went and filled out all the paperwork and blah, 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 and went over with a counselor. And she said I couldn't subtract my car payment or my car insurance. And I said, well, how am I going to find another job if I can't, you know, add my car and car insurance? I grabbed my folder. I said, just give me my folder back. Pretend I didn't even come. Just forget it. Oh, you can't have that. That's ours. That's ours. I said, no, it's all about me. It's mine. And I walked out, and I never collected food stamps. But listen to this. Ironically enough, I got a job at the unemployment office.
No, you did not. That's that's great.
What a switch, huh?
Wow. How about that? I mean, what do you make of this? So somebody with $85,000 on their card. But again, you know, the average person, I haven't tallied up how much, you know, I spend in food every month. But, you know, again, the idea that people are spending $4,000 and $5,000 a month just on food is insane.
They were going to give me $100, but guess what? I had to pay $80 for it. I said, I don't even spend $80 a month on groceries. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
So I said, forget it. Just forget I even came.
Chris, good for you. I think you did the right thing there.
Well, I worked 3 jobs at a time, my day office job, 8 to 5. The girls used to laugh at me because I'd drive to work with my Domino's thing on top of my car because I got off too late to take it off. And they said, I wouldn't want to follow you around, let alone do what you do. I worked at I delivered pizza. I took in laundries. I cleaned at a store uptown. And I waitressed on the weekends. You can do it. You're not going to sit on the couch making money.
That's it, and that's how we became the greatest nation on the face of the earth, that kind of a work ethic, Chris.
That's right. I'm pretty stubborn. I'll do it.
I love that. I bet you are.
I'll do it if I got to dig a ditch.
All right, Chris.
Well, happy birthday late. I hope
Thank
you had
you.
A happy one. I
had a great one. Thank you so much for that, Chris. Oh, my gosh. I'm getting a sugar rush off of the Jelly Bellies. I just had two.
It's healthy, Todd.
Oh, sweet Lord. I can feel my heart valve doing an extra rotation.
It's good.
Oh, my God.
And they actually are very accurate.
It is so sweet. Did you try one of the Peeps?
Yeah, I'm usually not a Peeps guy, but Dr. Pepper, anything is up my alley.
All right, I'll pass over during the break. I'll pass over the jelly beans.
Yeah, we'll swap.
We'll let you. I'm not trying to peep. I'm not doing the Peeps. I'm not doing the Peeps. I can't. I just can't.
You'll live longer.
Well, fair enough. Fair enough. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, I'm excited about our next guest, Bill Abbott, our good friend from Great America Media. And they finally gave the National Christmas Tree Lighting Ceremony to a network that actually loves Christmas and loves America. And so Bill Abbott's going to drop by to tell us all about the National Christmas Tree Lighting, which is going to be broadcast on Great American Media. So that's going to be pretty cool. All right, 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
November is National Family Caregivers Month. 1 in 4 Americans is stepping up to help older loved ones with everything from meals to bills. Family caregivers spend thousands out of their own pockets each year, and too many have to quit their jobs to keep providing care. Working families can't afford to wait. It's time to care for America's caregivers. Learn more at aarp.org/careforcaregivers. Paid for by AARP.
Well, I got word a few days ago about something very exciting, and I'm all about tradition, especially during the Christmas season. I'm just a tradition. I love all the traditions, you know, whether it's watching the Charlie Brown Christmas, or you've got Miracle on 34th Street. I just love all that kind of stuff. And so anyway, when I, you know, a lot of times the traditions get a little squirrely, and I'm excited because we're going back to the way things used to be. And I remember as a child, the National Christmas Tree Lighting Ceremony was a really, really big deal. And it's going to be a really, really big deal this year. And it's because Great American Media will be broadcasting the 2025 National Christmas Tree Lighting Ceremony. And here to talk all about it and break a little bit of that news is our good friend Bill Abbott, who is president and CEO of Great American Media. Bill, good to have you back with us.
Todd, so good to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Well, first, congratulations. This is pretty darn exciting news here.
Yeah, we're thrilled. And partnering with the White House and the National Parks Association is something that is really great, and they're great at what they do. And this, as you mentioned, you know, this used to be a marquee event on the a can't miss on the calendar at the level of Rockefeller Center, and we want to bring that back. But not only in that, we want to bring back faith and Jesus and God back into this celebration, and that's what we're doing this year.
So let's set the stage here, because this is held every year. The Christmas tree is set up on the ellipse of the White House, which is where the big celebration will take place.
That's right. And it's right there in front of the White House. It's a beautiful setting, a beautiful venue. We have top entertainment. Matthew West will be hosting the event for us, who is just a brilliant singer and artist. And the president, of course, will be there. And so we could not be more excited.
And again, this it's a special holiday event, ladies and gentlemen, exclusively on Great American Family. That's all going to take place on December 5th, and also streaming on Great American Pure Flix until January 31st. So you'll be able to go back and watch it again. I mean, this is going to be a lot of fun, a great lineup, and people, I understand people can actually get tickets. There's an online lottery. Is that right?
That is right. And you know, it's been a little bit more difficult with the government shutdown to get things organized, but we're getting there. And we are excited to have a full house for sure, but tickets are available online.
One of the things I love about you guys is you celebrate the reason for the season. And folks, if you go to greatamericanfamily.com, you'll already see the huge lineup of Christmas activities from the checklist. You've got a movie ranking game and play Christmas movie bingo. I'm going to get to that in a second. But let's talk about this printable Christmas list. It pretty much has all the things that are Christmas-related happening on Great American Family.
Yeah, you know, we list all of our Christmas movies out on both Great American Family and Great American Pure Flix so that the viewer can track along with them. And I think the big difference with us is that all of those movies are family-friendly, and you don't have to worry about your senses being assaulted by something that is a social engineering play by you know, one of the conglomerates or big media companies. We are very proud to be entertainment without compromise. We'll never compromise our standards or force our viewers to watch something that they might be uncomfortable with. And you know, there are a lot of lists out there. There are a lot of Christmas movies out there, but with us, we are all about faith, freedom, and supporting country.
I love this, and you're not kidding. I mean, it's a great channel. And again, the only agenda that you're going to be getting is Christmas and the reason for the season. And that's what I love about Great American Christmas. And you're going to be able to sit down. The kids are going to be able to watch the movies as well. You've got this really cool Christmas bingo game here where I guess every time there's a pie recipe or a holiday potluck, you know, it's just like regular bingo, except it's Christmas-themed.
Yeah, our social media team is really strong, and they've come up with all kinds of innovative ways, again, to bring back those traditions that people love. And we'll do it every year, and we will have a new twist, but certainly we have had a lot of success in growing the brand. And that Christmas as it's meant to be, which is our theme, throughout the entire season. That leans into the fact that we have the season to celebrate, not to get gifts, not to decorate the tree. Those are all important traditions and important celebrations, but at the same time, the season is about the experience of remembering the amazing event of 2,000 years ago.
Bill Abbott joins us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, everybody, with Great American Media. And, of course, you guys celebrating the, a five-year anniversary. And, Bill, I'm just curious, what has been the response from American families to the work that you guys are doing?
It is really remarkable, and it really fuels our enthusiasm and energy in a way that is hard to describe, because we get countless letters and notes and emails from people who are just so appreciative that we're out there and we're doing this, because nobody else is doing it in this way. And the culture needs it. The world needs it. People need it. And life can be hard, but you know when you come home and you can put our network on or put our streaming service on, you're going to be sampling the best of family, faith, and values, entertainment. And so the response has been fantastic.
And
we continue to grow. Yeah.
I love this. All right. I just want you to think about, you don't have to make a decision now, Bill, but maybe 2026, a Great American Christmas movie about a guy who leaves the Big Apple, moves back home to Memphis, Tennessee, buys a radio station. You know, I'm thinking, you know, there could be a good story there, Bill.
Yeah, I know a guy who might be able to do that.
And we could, yeah, we'll have to have a stunt double, no.
Well, you have a very important day job that I know so many appreciate, and I thank you for your tremendous contribution to the dialogue and the landscape.
Well, I appreciate that. And we do have a lot of fun here on the show. And we just so appreciate the great work you're doing for American families. And it really makes a difference. And I know a lot of folks are going to be watching as the Christmas tree is lit. That's going to be a lot of fun. And you're going to love seeing the president. He's always in a great mood around Christmas season.
Yeah, it's just the best.
All right, Bill, congratulations. And again, folks, if you'd like to get tickets, go to greatamericanfamily.com. All the information is there, and you'll be able to see the links and all that kind of good stuff. And also, you can download, print out that Christmas movie bingo card. Bill, thank you again.
Thank you, Todd.
All right. So there you go. Bill, is it too early to say Merry Christmas? We probably should have said Merry Christmas. I don't know. I like to do the holidays in order.
Me too. You can't skip over things.
No, I can't even. I'm afraid to go into Hobby Lobby right now. There's like a time of season that you should, that men especially, we should just steer clear.
Yeah, and sometimes you just get trapped and you have to be at Hobby Lobby.
You do.
And you have to look at all the Christmas trees.
That's, and the decorations.
Everything.
Do you guys, are y'all doing the Christmas tree?
Okay, so we got our Christmas tree the first like Christmas that we got married, so we're good. There. I do think that we're going to have to make a trip, though, because there's other decorations that we've missed on. So I'll probably be at Hobby Lobby this year.
So you're doing the whole, like, artificial tree. You're not doing go down and cut down your own tree.
No. I don't. Yeah, I'm not with that. Because the pine needles, you know, they get stuck in the carpet, and, you know, it's a whole deal. So,
and you saw what happened on National Lampoon, you know, Christmas Vacation.
Yes. I do not want a fire or any sort of
squirrel,
squirrel in the household.
It's fair enough. It's fair enough. By the way, over the weekend, may I just say, I just love this story. You know, there was a big game in Knoxville. My Tennessee Volunteers taking on Oklahoma. This is the first time, Dylan, Oklahoma ever stepped foot into the cathedral. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty epic. I mean, we did the whole blackout, and there's nothing creepier than going pitch black in Neyland Stadium, and they're playing that slowed-down version of Rocky Top. That you're just expecting, you know, banjos and squealing pigs. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it usually means it's not good for the other team.
No. So we got killed in our own stadium. How did this happen? And the guy who did it is a kicker from Oklahoma. And I don't know if you've seen the photos.
Unfortunately, I have seen the photos.
So help me understand this. The guy was where, I mean, first of all, it looked like he put Nair to his legs. He had no leg hair.
Yep.
And he had no thigh hair. And we only know that because he was wearing Daisy Dukes.
Yeah. The first Daisy Dukes I think we've seen in college football. This is a first.
They were short shorts.
They were so short.
But you know, Little Starnes got called out because he was going to football camp. Do you remember this story?
No, I don't think
so. He was going to Peyton Manning's quarterback camp down in Louisiana. And so he inadvertently packed his younger brother's shorts.
Oof.
And so he was going out for a pass. And Peyton, there's audio of this. We have to find this where you have Peyton. It was Peyton Manning and Eli. And they were like, oh, man, look at that guy catch that pass. And what's up with his shorts? I've never seen shorts.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. They were ragging up about the shorts. And I'm thinking to myself, holy cow. But the guy was like, yeah, he like my shorts had ripped. It was so funny in the press conference because they were like just peppering this guy. What's up with your shorts? The guy said they were torn. How are they torn? Were they torn before the game? Were they torn while you were trying to warm up? What's going on? It was hilarious.
You know what the worst part about this whole thing is? He's a really good kicker.
Oh, he's a great kicker.
That's terrible.
I'm just saying.
Terrible news.
But now he's going to be, and you know he's not going to change because, you know, he doesn't want to jinx it.
No, it's going to work. They're going to get shorter.
Yeah. But that's going to get a little chilly out there. You know, he's got no leg hair.
Yeah. Maybe you can wear long socks. Make up for the.
He's soccer? I don't know. So anyway, a British couple actually showed up at the game. They had never been to a college football game in America. And this British couple shows up and they're posting this story all about the game, cut number two.
Honest opinion of our first college American football game. Shauna, tell us.
It was like nothing I have ever seen in my whole entire life. This atmosphere was absolutely crazy.
The energy was off of the charts. I mean, I've been to a rugby game, a soccer game, and I've never experienced energy like that. It was overwhelming. It was overwhelming. We got so into it. Last night when we got back, both of our throats were hurting because we were shouting so much.
My throat still hurts now.
We had a lovely couple in front of us that taught us all the chants. Not that we remember them now. But my goodness, I did not realize that college American football would be that much of a riot. And when I say riot, I mean the funnest, most amazing riot in the world. It was electric.
Oh, and what was up with that boy's shorts? It was so small. Like, what? Excuse me?
She reminds me of Rebel Wilson. Remember her from back in the day, the old British comedian? She lost like 200 pounds or something, so she looks good now. Yeah, not that she looked bad before, but she looks different. There's less of her. I'm just going to stop. I can't.
You know, it's funny what they say. It only works in the SEC, though.
No, this is
true. What
they're
saying, the chance in the like Neyland Stadium is the hardest place to play in the SEC, some people say. So, yeah, that's a good game to go to if you're for the first time.
Well, congratulations, Oklahoma. That's a big deal for them. I mean, coming in and coming away, first time ever playing, and they came out with a big win. And now it's so bad that people are begging Lane Kiffin to come back to Knoxville. I don't think that's going to happen. But you know, they're talking about, though, Lane Kiffin may be going down to LSU or Florida.
I've heard that. And I've also heard him say that he's not motivated by money. But I feel like every coach says that.
Yeah, so I can be motivated by money. Auburn, Hugh Freeze got
Hugh Freeze
fired.
And
oh, geez.
It's the year of firing coaches. Have you noticed?
It's not going to be good. Yeah, it's not going to be good.
Yeah.
So, anyway. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
November is National Family Caregivers Month. One in four Americans is stepping up to help older loved ones with everything from meals to bills. Family caregivers spend thousands out of their own pockets each year, and too many have to quit their jobs to keep providing care. Working families can't afford to wait. It's time to care for America's caregivers. Learn more at aarp.org/careforcaregivers. Paid for by AARP.
All right, let's go to the phones here. Gary, Daytona Beach, Florida. Hi, Gary, what's going on?
Hey, sorry to have to go back to such a non-cheery topic, but I was trying to catch you when you were doing the food stamp or the supplement benefit thing. And in the last 30 years when I've been selling cars here in Volusia County, Florida, I mean, I've seen a lot of people that were on them. And my wife and I were talking about it. But there's probably five things that are going to be almost insurmountable for this country to attack. And that is, number one, since COVID, they've added about 5 or 6 million people onto the plan. And during COVID, you just automatically went on it. I had customers that they made a phone call and were hungry. What's your social security number? What's your name? And you got a card in the mail. So to purge that system, number one, to the people that don't. The other is the certification. But you had one lady that said it was really difficult. That must have been decades ago, because I have a customer that they get a phone call every 6 months. Has anything changed in your life? Nope. Okay, we're reloading your card for another 6 months. I was telling your screener, I had a guy get out of jail after 11 months, and they put money in this account all 11 months.
All 11 months? The guy's, are you kidding me?
I am not kidding you. He's in jail getting the free meals at the motel here, the county motel, and they're loading up his card each month because there's no one checking. It's so antiquated, and it shouldn't be, on how that system works. And I think it's going to be really – plus, the last thing I have, which is really sad, every year we lose about 4 convenience stores in our county. They get busted because people will walk in with a car that's got $300 on it. The people in the store hand them $150 or $125. The store gets the full $300 loaded into their bank account. And the person walks out with $125, $125 to buy beer, cigarettes, or gas, or whatever they want.
Wow. Wow. Gary, it's insane. And we've got to get it under control. And it's going to be painful. You know, the whole point of this is the government wants you to depend on them for everything. That way the government has more power. And pretty much the government then controls everything you do as a human being, which is contrary to everything our founding fathers meant for this nation to be. So we've got to do something about that. Gary, thanks for the update, and thank you for holding on. Wow, Clay Travis just posted a photo from Houston, the airport in Houston, a three-hour wait right now in TSA. 3 hours. Again, the Democrats are responsible for all of this, and this is what the Schumer shutdown is doing. There have been ground stops over the weekend at airports all over the country, and that's only going to get worse. But again, the rumblings are the Democrats are going to capitulate, but only after Election Day tomorrow, because they're hoping that all of this anger will be directed at the Republicans. And I hope it backfires on them. I really do. But, you know, the Republicans, the Republicans are going to have to pound this home that it's the Democrats that are responsible for all of this. This is just insane, Ronald. Watching these images coming out of Houston, unbelievable. And I'm concerned because this weekend I'm flying to Dallas. I'm speaking at a church there in Plano, Texas. I may have to drive. It might be quicker to drive. It's only 5.5 hours. All right, and there's a Buc-ee's. Oh, I may have to really think about that. All right, it has been a lot of fun. 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show, Newsmax 2. Be sure to tune in. We will see you back on the radio tomorrow, noon Eastern. Get out there and be good, America.